We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I hope it has to do more with love of the game than wanting to make a little more money.
Are you kidding me?
Economics will have nothing to do with it.
Double 87.
Repeat the por favor.
Dale Arnold.
Obviously, our concern centers around our victims of human trafficking.
You'll get stuff wrong, bro.
Rich Keefe.
I pick six off Tom.
I know, that's
Brady.
Fine. I understand that, but you...
I made a kid cry.
You
for that bar.
Dale and Keefe.
Dale and Holly. Dale and Holly.
Was, I was thinking...
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I haven't been blown up on my own show in a while.
No, it's
I
taking some time.
It. No, I
you
deserved
did.
It.
You did.
I mean,
it happens.
The trouble was I had stupid Stephen A. Smith in my head.
Oh, you're blaming
about,
Stephen
no,
A.?
No. My
Come
fault.
On.
My fault. But I'm saying, you know, Stephen A.,
yeah.
We played that cut of him talking about, you know, yeah. We still got friends at the station, Michael Holly, and we went...
As I said, the guy he loves the most and hates the most on the station aren't on the station.
Neither.
Maybe it's time to reassess. Move on.
You know, we gave him a chance to reassess with us.
We did.
We made the offer. He preferred not to reassess
yeah,
with
he
us.
Said no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, we're
I
good.
Believe is what it was.
So, day two.
Michael Holly is my brother.
Yes.
Fair enough.
And they
Black dude living in Boston raves about the city.
He
Fair
does.
Enough.
He does.
He sure does. He loves the city.
He's always raved about living in the city.
Yes, he has.
So day two of NFL free agency, dogs and cats are still sleeping together.
A lot going on.
I find it interesting. Ben Volen wrote about it in the Globe today. And as one NFL personnel person said to him, you've got C+, B- players getting A money. That's what the first day of free agency is.
A lot of times. Or I think, you know, there are some pretty good players, but they just get... overpaid maybe. Like Landon Collins is a good player, but now he's the highest paid safety in the league. And so that's what it was going to take in order to get him. But you look at it and say, well, is that really a great way of spending your money? And I think also we're looking at it from a Patriots angle where they're kind of sitting back and letting these other teams pounce in there. And so many times teams have won free agency. I feel like the Redskins every year, the Jets have won free agency, the Bills occasion.
When Remember? Rex was there, they won free agency.
I mean, they got Mario Williams in there. They've gotten LeSean McCoy, although I think that was a trade. But still, as far as, you know, off-season moves, Miami was very active for some of those years when they got Ndamukong Suh and Jarvis Landry and these different pieces that they've gotten. And so we've sort of seen, and it's not to say the Patriots have never done that, right? We talk about 07 and 17. Neither one ended in a Super Bowl victory, but they got to the Super Bowl both of those years.
Ndamukong
Suh. Yeah, you throw him in the mix. That was a lot of money. But that was so they have done it. So it's not one of those things where the Patriots are never involved and they never spend money, because that's also not true.
They spend money.
Yeah.
They, generally speaking, don't go diving in on the first day of free agency, generally speaking.
Right.
Volen makes the case. Now, when you read the sentence, you go, wait a minute. Trey Flowers wins for most absurd deal of free agency. Now, you read the sentence and you go, what is that all about? He points out that Trey Flowers is a good young player, right in his prime, plays the run well, rushes the passer, be a good fit for Matt Patricia's defense. But he gets a $28 million signing bonus.
Yeah.
He gets $90 million over 5 years, $40 million fully guaranteed over 2 years, $54 million guaranteed over three. His $18 million average means that there are only four defensive players in the NFL who have a higher average annual value than him.
Okay.
Khalil Mack. Got no problem with that.
Khalil Mack's a great player.
Aaron Donald.
Yep, great player.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Great player.
Von Miller.
Was a great player. Maybe he still is.
But
definitely
those
was
are
a great
the
player.
Only four defensive players in the NFL with a higher average annual
yeah,
value
but is
than
is that
Trey
the
Flowers.
Best way of looking at things? Who's the highest paid left tackle in football?
Well, right now, Trent Brown.
Exactly.
Highest paid offensive lineman.
Right, well, yeah, right. I assume it would be. But yeah. Who's the highest paid offensive lineman a year ago is Nate Solder. The highest paid offensive lineman this year is Trent Brown. Are those two of the best offensive linemen in the league?
No,
or
that's the point. I mean, that's actually the point. What you've got, you know, good players getting great player money.
Well, because their contract's up. That's just how it works. I feel like that's that, you know, in a league like this, that's how it goes. You know, you all of a sudden, you look around the league and all these guys were getting franchise tagged that were pass rushers, and then Trey Flowers was available. So he was going to get paid a lot. But I also feel like, and I said this yesterday to a couple of callers that called in and didn't seem to care that Trey Flowers was gone. It's another classic case of he was great while he was here, and now he's gone. And, well, he was good. He wasn't great. He was good. It's like, well, you weren't saying that last year. You weren't saying that the year before. He got a lot of money. So if you want to go, and right. I think Volan's going more with that, like he's overpaid, then
he's a
maybe.
Good young player, likes him, says all those things, but.
But isn't that a little dismissive?
The deal is. Let's be honest. Most of these deals that happened on the first day of free agency, we looked at him and said, wait a minute. I mean, really? Landon Collins gets $32 million guaranteed over 2 years?
But I just feel like...
Landon Collins?
Well, he's a great safety, though. He's really good. I feel like Trey Flowers, for the last 3 years, we were told that, hey, he doesn't have 15 sacks, but look at what he does. He does every single thing that the Patriots want him to do. He could stop the run. He could put pressure on the quarterback. He was always at the top of the league in pressures. He would come up with some big plays. Look at his playoff his playoff appearances and performances, I should say. He was very good to great. And now all of a sudden, he goes somewhere else and is like, oh, what a mistake the Lions made. I can't believe they gave him all that money. I don't know. They need a turnaround. The Lions were an absolute mess last year. Matt Patricia's probably 1 foot out the door. They needed to do something. So I don't look at, because I think Volan says the worst free agent signing.
Well, he just says the contract absurd, right?
I don't know. I think Trent Brown is not going to last. We've both said Trent Brown's going to be out of Oakland in 2 years.
I mean,
he might be bad this year. I think Trey Flowers at least is going to be good. If Detroit sucks next year, it won't be Trey Flowers'
fault. No. You know, there are others. Justin Coleman gets what is believed to be a record for a slot corner.
So Justin
Coleman. 2 years, $18 million for Justin Coleman.
Trey Flowers isn't even the worst contract on the Lions. They gave Justin Coleman $9 million a year. I think he's making $11 million next season. So Justin Coleman next season is going to make twice as much as Julian Edelman, and he's going to make more than Rob Gronkowski. And you're telling me Trey Flowers, not you, but right, people right, say right. Trey Flowers is the worst contract? He got a lot of money, but he had to because he hit the market at the absolute perfect time. And he's right in the prime of his career. He's still only 25 years old. Like, he hit it perfectly. And I just think...
Well, couldn't you make the argument, too, that if you're the Detroit Lions and you really want Trey Flowers, Matt Patricia really wants Trey Flowers, you think the Dolphins are in the running.
I bet they were.
And you're thinking to yourself, God, the only way I'm going to get him to not go to Miami is I got to throw stupid slappy money at
him. So would you if they paid $2 million a year less for him, would you say, "Hey, great signing."
Right.
Then you got to do it. You're the Lions, for God's sakes. You're not attracting a ton of free agents just because the winning culture or look at the upside they have. They don't. And so you're going to have to throw money, cuz I'm sure the Patriots, if the price was low enough, they would have brought him back. The Dolphins...
They love the guy.
And I'm sure another team would have been involved, too. But they saw, all right, you got these former Patriot assistants that have worked with Trey Flowers. They really want him. And so the price went up a little bit. Yeah, by no means do I think he is the fifth best defensive player in the league. But that's also not how it works. You can't just... And maybe it should, but it doesn't. You can't go through how much money is being paid to each guy and say, that's the best player, second best, third best, fourth. Like, that's not how it works. So I don't think it's that bad. I think he's going to be good for him. The question is, how will the rest of that team be, and will it even matter?
According to Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News, the Giants are talking to Chris Hogan's reps.
So Chris Hogan could be out the door.
He's
no problem
31,
with that.
Two-time Super Bowl champ, went to Ramapo High School in New Jersey, went to Monmouth University. So you're thinking it kind of makes sense in a lot of ways.
And then he'll replace Odell Beckham. He will replace all the production that Odell Beckham had.
Not so much.
They're like, good news, Eli Manning. We got your Chris Hogan. You're like, what? This guy with the crazy eyes? Going to bring him in?
So what the Patriots do, which is Patriots things.
Yes.
Is today they bring in Alan Bailey.
You like Alan Bailey?
Alan Bailey has played for the Kansas City Chiefs from 2011 through 2018. But most importantly, all of the assessments I've read of Alan Bailey is he can play edge. He can play inside. Mm-hmm. He can do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He is the quintessential Patriots free agent guy.
Right, do a few different things. One of those guys that's Lawrence a little bit off the radar, right? You know, last year, he had 6 sacks last year playing on that defensive line with some good players, though. So I don't know, maybe he get, you know, when you have Chris Jones and Justin Houston and Dee Ford, maybe you're going to get, you know, I would imagine blocked with, you know, one guy more often than not. But still, why not bring him in, take a chance on somebody like that? We've seen them take guys late 20s, early 30s, and get a couple of good years out of them. Those are the kind of players that
it's
they find.
It's exactly what they do.
Also, you and Andy Hart were giving me a hard time yesterday about Philip Dorsett.
No, just about everything.
But specifically, oh, Philip Dorsett, I'm happy he's back.
I know you
are. I like Philip Dorsett. He's solid. He's nothing special.
Because he's going to give them all the production that they're missing from all the other wide receivers. That's the line you just threw at me about Chris Hogan with the Giants.
What was the production from the receivers?
They got no receivers right
now.
But
what was the production that they're trying to replace?
That's the question.
From who?
They have.
He's not replacing Odell Beckham. They didn't have Odell Beckham.
No. My point is,
they don't have anybody.
Now they have two wide receivers on the roster who actually have caught a ball in the NFL.
Right. And one of them, obviously, great, Julian Edelman. He had a good season and a great playoffs. And then Philip Dorsett, I thought was solid. Like, you obviously want to still go out there and get guys better than him, but that's a good baseline. And if I had to choose between Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan, I would choose Philip Dorsett. And even some of these other guys that we've seen work in over the years, how many receivers have gone from one organization to the Patriots and just kind of flamed out and just either couldn't pick up the offense, didn't make it out of camp or whatever it was. So Philip Dorsett has now been with the team for 2 years. Year one, he was a non-factor.
Totally.
Year two, when called upon, made some plays. So, I mean, it's a you know, a minor signing. I think he wanted to be a starter somewhere.
You mocked when I said Brandon Bolden was a good signing by the Patriots.
Of course I did. Brandon Bolden? What the hell?
What does Philip Dorsett bring?
He can catch a pass. What does Brandon Bolden do, Dale?
He is a core special teams player.
Listen to yourself.
No,
I'm happy
to repeat it.
Oh, God.
They consider it to be critical.
How did they win without him?
They had to go get two guys off the street last year because their special teams coverage teams suck.
You just summed it up. You can go grab a guy off the street. Go grab a mailman and have him chase punts.
It's not like Brandon Bolden is costing them a crap ton of money.
I know, but you said it was a great signing. And that's insane.
It's exactly the sort of thing they need.
How did they possibly win without him? That's what they need.
Oh, wait a minute.
Dale,
because they won. So they're not. They shouldn't go get anybody then, because they won without whoever they get.
You're talking
right?
about the 53rd
That's
guy on the roster.
Yes.
And you're saying it's a great signing. That's silly. You said yesterday the reason why he's here is so because he would have played defense and stopped the Desperado play. That's what you said yesterday.
I think that I'd rather have had Brandon Bolden out there than Rob Gronkowski. Do you think that would have been a better plan?
Has he ever played defense?
I have no idea.
So I don't think that makes any sense.
So Gronk was a good move then.
Why would you twist it? Why, I said
because
that was a dumb move at
the
time.
Guy who was out there.
I know, but you said Brandon Bolden. Don't distract it with Gronk. Brandon Bolden's never played defense. And now you want him to play defense.
Neither is Gronk.
But I don't understand how a special teams guy is a great signing. If you want him back, fine. But don't they have a bunch of special teamers? Don't they have Slater's back? Nate Ebner's back?
They like this guy beyond the fact that he's a special teamer.
How'd they let him go?
He's a leader. Because the money.
He's a leader?
I don't know if you know this,
but
they think he is a huge leader in the locker room.
Thank God he's back. Hopefully he can turn the team around.
Well, I bet he brings more to the table than Philip Dorsett does.
I doubt it. I really doubt it. You don't think? I bet Philip Dorsett makes more plays than Brandon Bolden next year. I guarantee that. I mean, I don't even think we have to get into that. What play does Brandon Bolden make? Any? He had more plays against the Patriots last year than he did ever for them.
You never watch when they punt or kick then?
No.
No, because
no,
it doesn't matter.
Off.
Yeah.
Apparently
you do because...
So they just kick it in the back of the end zone then. And usually if anybody's downing a punt, Slater gets the guy and he fair catches.
He's back too, by the way.
No, I know.
I assume because special teams.
Well, because he wants to be back.
But he's not back because he's a great wide receiver depth player. I mean, they
never
won
it.
No. My point is,
I didn't say that. Listen, I didn't say don't bring
because they put a lot of importance on special teams.
I didn't say
a huge amount.
I know, but you're saying it's a great signing. That's my point. I didn't say you can't have special teamers. You need to have 53 guys on the roster. You need to have 11 on the punt team and on the kickoff team. But to say it's a great signing, I mean, I don't. What was that?
You guys are going at it. There's a little wrestling bell.
Well, then back away and let it go. Then.
So that was the end of the round.
It's a kickoff to the next part.
No, I don't think that's how it works.
I don't think
that's how that works. But they've been they've been quiet. It's really just been bringing
exactly
guys back
they
that they
do.
Want.
Yeah, it's this is and Alan Bailey's going to be the first guy. He visits today. They'll probably sign him.
There's still a big move, I think, to be made, but I think it's probably a trade. Don't you?
Well, if you want to get slappy, to use your term.
Of course I do.
Do they go get Blake Bortles to be the backup quarterback for Tom Brady now?
Maybe. I mean, sure. Because by reports back in that draft, because Blake Bortles was drafted the same year that Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted. And obviously Blake Bortles went third overall. Garoppolo didn't go to the second round. But some of the reports that were around that draft was Patriots had Blake Bortles as their highest ranked quarterback. And I think a lot of teams did. Again, he went so high. And so
I'm
if
not
he's
sure
a,
they'd still have that.
But. No, probably not. I bet they would reassess the draft board there. But if Blake Bortles is available, at least he.
Well, he is.
And I don't think he's very good just, you know, from watching him. But if you were saying who's going to be the quarterback in 2 years, Blake Bortles, Danny Etling, Brian Hoyer, or a guy from the draft, probably a guy from the draft would be my hope. But then Blake Bortles, like Blake Bortles would be, you'd slot him ahead of Etling and Brian Hoyer. At least I would. So I wouldn't hate that.
Although
I don't know what
like
it would cost
Hoyer,
them.
I think more than you do. That's fair to say.
Everybody does.
I was going to say everyone. Does.
No, but I'm saying for the future, like not for like one game, like a stopgap one game, but for the future, would you take a shot at Bortles? I think I would. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have anything to lose. I guess at that point, you say goodbye to Brian Hoyer. You're not gonna have both of them on the roster.
Yeah, they've done it. Didn't they had Hoyer and Mallett. Mallett's first year, I think they carried three quarterbacks.
Well,
they had Brissett.
Then
with
the question
Garoppolo.
Is, do you say goodbye to Etling because you draft another quarterback? There's that whole. You're not going above three. I know they had one time,
and
one famous time, and that number four quarterback ended up really being important to the team. But they're not gonna.
They won't do four.
No.
Can Etling do a second year on the practice squad if they like that guy so much? I think you can. You're allowed to do that. But either way. Yeah, I would take a shot with Bortles unless you know the money is too high. Then that doesn't make a lot of sense. You don't want to have to invest really any money at all into your backup quarterbacks. But somewhat intriguing, and I really don't think Nick Foles is going to do them a whole lot of favors. Like I know they
made
it
official
something.
This morning. They've got the picture of him signing his contract, and
it was
all
funny.
That.
Somebody tweeted out one of the football writers tweeted out that the Jacksonville Jaguars drafted Leonard Fournette ahead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, because at that point they thought Blake Bortles was their guy. And then 2 years later, they just cut him loose. They got a running back. They passed up on those guys. And now they had to give Nick Foles $20 million a year.
According to the Houston Chronicle, the Patriots have another visit today. Former Denver Broncos tight end Matt Lacoste visits with the Patriots today. He's 26 years old. Spent almost all of last year as the primary backup tight end behind starter Jacob Hoyerman. Caught 24 passes, 250 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, they got no tight ends, so, you know, fine.
I mean, that's like Matt Lengel they had a couple years ago. It was like a huge guy. I remember he had like a one touchdown, a couple of grabs. There was the reports about Jared Cook. That's an interesting one, although Jared Cook would probably not be cheap. You know, Jared Cook was coming off of a pretty good year. He's been in the league a long time. I'd say pretty productive. In fact, last year was his best year. When he was out there in Oakland, he made the Pro Bowl for the first time. He had six touchdowns, just under 900 yards, 68 catches. That's more of a splash than that Lacoste kid would be. But I don't know how much they want to spend on it. They just cut Dwayne Allen. I would think Jared Cook would want even more money than that. He's more of a threat in the passing game, clearly, but they're going to have to add a tight end or two, and that's really regardless of Gronk's decision.
I know that they're, you know, we talked about this yesterday when Andy Hart was in with us, the whole question about Gronk, and is he going to come back? Is he not going to come back? Drew Rosenhaus doesn't know and all that stuff. I can tell you that what I've been told is that Rob Gronkowski is training right now as if he's going to play. He's not training, you know, let's keep a good beach bod so that, you know, when Camille and I go back to Cabo, I'll look
I think
good.
That is important, though, too.
Well,
him.
It is important.
I bet it is.
But what I'm told is that he's training more like a football player.
This is sourced?
Yeah.
This is sourced, so he's training to be a football player, but would it fall in line at all with the Willie McGinnis thing? Like, is that still in play?
No, it's...
So you're
it's
saying, like, he's to play...
I don't believe Willie McGinnis' story. It doesn't make sense to me.
I know, but from hearing it from Willie McGinnis...
He's much more reliable than me, I understand.
No, I'm not... Well, actually, yes.
Yes,
that wasn't
it's
my,
okay.
It wasn't
okay
my original
that.
Point, but that was
I
even
think
if...
I think Gronk's going to take a break for a while.
if it was somebody else even in the media,
I think Bill would have a huge problem with the scenario that Willie paints. When you're ready, you let us know, okay, Gronk, and you know we'll fire up a spot for you.
But the Patriots do things that are a little unorthodox.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so that's the only other reason why I give it a little bit of pause.
There's kind of a limit to how unorthodox.
That deep in the season, he could possibly come back and play.
I want to make sure I'm clear with what you're saying. You're saying that you don't expect Rob Gronkowski to go to camp?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to start off the season by being retired. And I think he's going to get the itch. I think he's going to be in great shape, and he's going to probably have that feeling that, hey, I want to come back.
McGinnis is saying he's going to retire.
And then come back.
And then he's going to get the itch, and you know he's going to want to come back later. I mean, Willie just said he's going to start retired. He's going to retire.
But Willie, we talk to every week during the football season, and we wish would throw stuff out there. We're like, go ahead, toss it out there. We'll kick it around. But he wouldn't. It was always these measured responses and these thought-out answers. And so for him to be the only one saying that, I give it some weight to it. I think there's something there.
We spoke to Willie for 17 weeks. He said more in a 30-second clip than
Jason,
he did.
How dare you?
And combined like 6 hours of audio.
I was going to say, we've played that response more than anything he said on our show. And we had.
And by the way, I'm sitting here saying I don't believe him.
You don't believe him. And the only reason why I do is because
Willie's saying it.
Yeah, he has. And the connection that he has, certainly with the Patriots still, with Alex Guerrero. Now, he says at the beginning he didn't talk to Gronk, but I don't know. Maybe he did, and he just didn't want to get Gronk in trouble, or he didn't, and he talked to people close to him.
And this is just my own assessment.
Yeah, but his own, like, again, Willie McGinnis doesn't just come out there and he's like, this is what I think could happen. We haven't heard him do that ever, so that is sort of intriguing. But for that to work, you kind of have to have an agreement with Belichick, and I think that's where he would say, "All right, it's one thing for you to miss OTAs. It's one thing for you to miss even mini camp and maybe even training camp, but
I think he'd have a huge problem if he wasn't injured.
Yeah,
he'd have a huge problem with, I'll just skip training camp.
He's going to get the itch.
I'll show up in week 9.
Yeah, because they ended a deal a few years ago. Remember Brian Waters, the guard who played for the Chiefs forever, like a really good guard, and then he came to the Patriots. And they had some sort of deal where I don't think he officially signed until like after camp, but like you knew he was joining the team.
Yeah.
And then I think the story goes he wanted to do that again, and they were like, all right, like come on. And then he ended up going to play somewhere else. But at least for that year, they kind of gave him a little bit of leeway. And I don't know, maybe they would do the same for Gronk.
As I said, I think he's training to play football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what the holdup is. As you said, then why doesn't he just say it? Why doesn't he post some witty Instagram? I think the back and forth between he and Brady is kind of hinting at it anyway. You know, Brady joking about the Cabo pictures. Hope he's got enough energy to train with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knows what he's going to do. Maybe it is a negotiation. Maybe Rosenhaus and the Patriots are trying to figure out an extension of some sort that makes this all possible.
That's what I think it is. I think it's as much to do with the Patriots' decisions and what they're saying as it does Gronk. I think Gronk, based on whatever the Patriots want, could push him one way or the other. Like, I think he'd be willing to play. I also feel like he'd be willing to walk away. And maybe even this crazy Willie McGinnis theory where he walks away for half a season. I could see that being a possibility now.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. I'm putting up my quotation fingers.
Uh-oh.
New information about the Robert Kraft case, because it's not new. But we'll talk about it.
Kind of new.
Not really.
Okay.
But we'll talk about it. When we come back, we'll tell you what's not new, but is being portrayed as new by TMZ and others. We'll get to that. Andrew Raycroft is going to join us in studio at about 1:30 to talk a little Bruins hockey with us. Bruins wrap up the 3-game road trip tonight in Winnipeg against the Jets with 6 regulars still on the sidelines, and they will not be back for tonight or probably even for the weekend. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to Dale.
Dropping deuces right in front of you.
And Keith.
TV, movies, video games, beer, and my dogs. All I need.
On WEEI.
Obviously, our concern in this investigation centers around our possibility of victims of human trafficking, the appearance maybe of that. We're working with advocacy groups and interpreters and getting as much support for them as we possibly can. We've been working with the state attorney's office here in Palm Beach County. We've also worked with our other jurisdictions that are also doing similar investigations, particularly Martin County. We have 25 individuals additional that will be charged, and those filing packets have been forwarded on to the state attorney's office, and my staff will be passing out a list of those individuals as we're speaking here.
Here's what I think TMZ is doing today. They're doing the exact same thing police and prosecutors in Palm Beach County did when these arrests were first announced. TMZ Sports, and Mutton Callahan retweeted this out. You can find it there. The headline is Robert Kraft. No human trafficking charges for anyone nailed in sting. And then there's a big picture of Robert Kraft.
Of course.
So here's the opening line. Robert Kraft and all the other suspects in South Florida's prostitution sting are not facing a single charge of human or sex trafficking.
Right.
We've confirmed with prosecutors in Palm Beach County, home to the now infamous Orchids of Asia Spa, that Kraft is still only facing two solicitation charges. We're told that's also true for the other 25 Johns arrested in Palm Beach and Martin counties. None of them were ever going to be charged with human trafficking. The only reason TMZ is putting Robert Kraft in the headline and his picture is to get people to click on it, because it's not until paragraph 3 that they get to the part that is the real part of the story. Sources familiar with the case tell us prosecutors have seen zero evidence of human trafficking to this point after a 5-month investigation. That's the story.
So
not Robert Kraft, who was never going to be charged with human trafficking.
But Robert Kraft is the story because he's the only celebrity involved.
It's the only name that will get
that
people to
know.
Click on TMZ's
Correct.
Story.
Right, but as long as there was sort of the stench of human trafficking, I do feel like it's an important update. Now, they're going to lead with Robert Kraft. They're going to say all this stuff, but it didn't seem like. But every time we talked about it, we would always say there's really no connection with the human trafficking to Kraft, but you thought maybe there was still a chance that human trafficking was a part of the story.
Right.
So at least that takes that out completely. I didn't think his charges were going to change, but it also, I think people are going to have to, they may choose not to, but they're going to have to view this whole story and case differently. Again, the OMF had that woman on who was trying to get Gillette Stadium
to change the name off and all of this stuff.
And in her little appeal to the masses, she was saying, I don't mind if somebody goes and visits a prostitute. Like, if it's a willing prostitute, then so be it. But human trafficking, blah, 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 human trafficking. Well, now that that's gone, how stupid do you look? Like, you jumped to conclusions on this. You thought he was connected with human trafficking. And as the story played out, weren't we kind of getting the sense all along that, well, wait a minute, how strong is their case with the human trafficking? Like, they keep going back to Robert Kraft. They keep going back to this. They have all the details on Robert Kraft, but what's the story? What's going on with these women and how they got there? They didn't really have any details on that.
I've got the...
There was a human trafficking sting.
There was, and it has yielded nothing.
It resulted in nothing.
Here's the headline. Robert Kraft prostitution sting yields zero human trafficking charges.
So that is true, though. Right, that's true.
Except it wasn't a Robert Kraft prostitution sting.
Well, it was.
He was
involved in it. He was one of the guys.
You see
one
what
of the
they're
Johns.
Doing, though.
Of course. Would you click on it if they said John Johnson's prostitution sting?
No, if they said South Florida prostitution sting yields no human trafficking charges, which is the story.
Right.
It's not Robert Kraft.
No.
It was never alleged. He or any of the 25 Johns had anything to do with this.
No,
the human trafficking.
Right,
part.
And now they have nothing, because a lot of people were waiting, like, well, just wait and see. This could get worse for them. It's like, well, no, it's not. Now, his charges and what he's going to have to go to court, or what his attorneys are going to have to go to court for, that's all the same.
Oh,
that
no,
still remains the same, and that's still
the
happening.
Exact same two charges.
Yeah, and
yes.
That's happening.
What, did you think they were going to add a human trafficking charge to it? No.
I mean, I didn't think it was going to happen. You didn't think it was going to happen.
No one did.
But there was always, I mean, if the fact that there was something going on there, because then you get the girlfriend defense, or that, oh, he knows this lady,
well,
and this
was
lady
Wiggins,
was this.
Yeah.
No, I understand, but if there's a little bit more of a relationship out there, like, well, did he have any knowledge of what was going on? And so now that helps, but again, people will read the original headline. Forget even this one, Dale. They're going to have read the original one,
right?
And people are still going to sort of put that on Robert Kraft. But yeah, so as far as he's concerned, nothing really changes. I mean, I don't think he hired another lawyer today. I don't think that's happened.
I haven't seen a new name added to the
list.
But
you never know.
We're still at three. As far as I know, it's still the same three.
Yes, they were in a relationship. Yes, they were.
Now, does this change your mind at all with when we heard, again, we were on the day that all the stuff broke, and you heard that there were tapes of Robert Kraft,
right?
But we also heard there was human trafficking. So the fact that there's not human trafficking, do you start to doubt at all whether or not these tapes exist?
No. I mean, I think that if they stood there and said that they've got videotape evidence of all 25 Johns, and then these guys all go to court and they have to tell a judge, yeah, we sort of lied about that, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Every case would immediately be thrown out.
So, and I agree with you, because I think that the human trafficking part, and I guess
I think they were desperately trying to find human trafficking.
They were. And like with anything else, it's one of those things where you sort of lead with that. And guess what? You might get a little bit more money, a little bit more things thrown your way. Like not in your pockets, but, you know, to put towards the investigation. Like, hey, all right, here's more equipment. Here's more stuff to for you to really investigate this. We don't care if it's just, you know, consensual prostitution, even though it's illegal down there, we don't really care as much about that. We're not going to set up this huge sting for it. But if you can bring in some human traffickers, you're really doing something.
Story, yeah.
But I think the details for Kraft make me believe that
they're identical. Nothing has changed.
No. I'm saying I believe that there's a tape because of the whole 10:59 walks in, hands money, 11:13 walks out. Like that's pretty
the
detailed.
The details are pretty elaborate.
Yes, so I would say so.
So despite TMZ breathlessly putting Robert Kraft's name in the headline and a big picture above the story, there's no difference. The story's
for
the
him,
exact
there's
same.
Not, yeah.
I'm saying, as far as Robert Kraft is concerned, the story's the same today as it was yesterday.
Actually, I think it makes him look a little bit better, to be honest. Because even though it was getting flimsy, the human trafficking part of it, I think that could be something that, even if he was unaware of it, just sort of the thought that he was in a place that had human trafficking, right? Just like the worst of the worst. And if that was, and now you're saying, well, that wasn't even involved. Now you're like, oh, this is just one of those joints that's probably
in
every state.
It is exactly what we thought it was.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I think it actually makes him look a little bit better.
I do think that the legal authorities in Palm Beach County, both the police and the law and the district attorney and all that, they were so clearly trying to make a splash with this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what would make a splash is stick to two words, human trafficking, on it. Then it makes a huge splash.
Right.
And release the list of the 25 John's names and make sure Robert Kraft's name is on there. And then I swear to God, I think they planted the questioner who talked about, so are you saying there's videotape of Robert Kraft?
Oh, they could have. Yeah,
I mean,
that all could have been
when
part
I
of it.
Go back to and I listen to that line of questioning, it sounded clear to me that we're going to get biggest bang for the buck we can get here. We're going to make sure Robert Kraft's name is on it, and it's out there for everybody to hear and see. We're going to make sure people know we've got video, and then this story is going to take on a life of its own.
Well, I'm still waiting for the bigger name. I'm sitting back waiting for the Adam Schefter bigger name than Robert Kraft. Whenever that,
you're going to have to wait a while.
I thought maybe that was going to be the update today by TMZ.
No, there's
instead the update is no human trafficking. So
which is a huge part of the story.
I don't have the name.
Well, that's true.
I don't have the name.
That's true.
Because I was not given the name.
Right. We get how it works. But no, I mean, I think that Robert Kraft's story doesn't change, but overall that story down there, this does look a little bit worse for, I would say, the detectives in the case,
yes,
the police that were talking about it, and because it looked like holy crap. And it was also, it wasn't just this spa, it was all over South Florida. It seemed like a big crackdown, like, good, you're gonna stop these monsters, put these people behind bars or whatever you have to do. But turns out, nope.
By the way, I'm not even saying, despite what this story tells you, that there was no human trafficking. I'm not even going that far. What I'm saying is...
Well, they don't have anything to prove
They can't prove human trafficking.
Right.
And if some of these women were victims of human trafficking, chances are real good they're not saying anything.
Well, they haven't said a word.
Because they're scared to death for their families back in China. They're scared to death about their passports. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even saying that because they've provided no proof of it so far, that doesn't even exist. But it sure as hell never existed for Robert Kraft.
It didn't.
And the other 24 names on the... on the list.
Do we have an update on the petition to get the Gillette sign off of the stadium down there? We'll have to look to see if there's any kind of an update. I feel like that might
The 14,000 mark?
They were looking for 14,000 signatures. E-signatures, probably. I don't think you have to do them in person. I don't think you have to do that. But I'm guessing that they might want to just quietly take that offline. there's nothing there. Or they're going to have to change it into maybe another cause. They take that energy and passion and direct it somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know that the petition drive has gotten to their goal. I don't think the petition drive, we never thought it was going to do anything anyway.
No, the spokesperson wasn't great.
And the woman that they had on, making the case, kind of sort of failed at that too.
Right. And again, her main cause was the human trafficking. It was nothing else. It was none of the other part of the story. In fact, she was fine with somebody just getting that kind of service, but it was the human trafficking, which she was so upset about, and now it doesn't seem like that really exists.
And a texter says, why are you so skeptical of police in the Kraft case, but not in both of the Michael Bennett cases? Frankly, I'm even skeptical of the police in both cases, but video will tell the tale. In the Michael Bennett case, we saw video. We saw body cam footage from the police.
Yeah.
We heard how they were talking to Michael Bennett.
Right, we heard that.
You could hear. Now, we've said all along, if this videotape exists in South Florida, then... Ooh.
No, but see, I guess maybe the texter misheard us, because I think there is a tape. I think they're right about that.
Yes.
But from what we've heard right now, the human trafficking part doesn't seem to exist. So why would we believe them for that part of it? Frankly, this is just we're just basing it off of the details that we have gotten out of the case. That's what they said a couple of weeks ago, and now that doesn't seem to be there. And each day it seemed to be a little bit less and less. Like, if you're looking in the updates, they didn't really have anything to pin or to have these charges of human trafficking stick. But the other parts of it, I do tend to believe. So it's not like...
Is there video evidence of this alleged acts?
Yes, sir.
So I do believe him, but I think it's fair to ask the question, should you believe him based off of
absolutely
the other stuff?
Yeah. And look, Robert Kraft, if he even in his heart of hearts thinks there might be video evidence, that's why he's got this three-person dream team of lawyers to make sure you don't get to see it, Rich.
It's going to be out there.
If you want to, and I don't.
I do. Sure.
I'm good.
I'll take a peek, see what's going on.
It won't be as eventful as the new Avengers trailer, it'll give you something to...
I'm glad I'm sitting down for that.
Pass
that
the time, I guess.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So all of that, the breathless TMZ headline,
right,
the clickbait, please.
Well, yeah, you're not clicking on it if it just says South Florida prostitution thing, like you said. You need Robert Kraft. You need the picture of Robert Kraft.
You need the picture of Kraft.
He
you
is
need
the
his
face
name
of
in the headline.
Yeah. Because if he wasn't involved...
Because, by the way, it's not a Robert Kraft prostitution sting.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Which is what TMZ is calling it today.
But we wouldn't have ever heard of that story if he wasn't involved.
Absolutely.
Else could have played out, to every other detail but having him involved, and we wouldn't have known a single thing. TMZ wouldn't have run it. Right? Like, where's the juice there? Like, unfortunately, I'm sure there's prostitution stings and even human trafficking stings all over the country all the time. But unless you have a celebrity or a high-profile person involved in it, we're not going to hear about it. We're certainly not going to be talking about it. So, I mean, TMZ knows what they're doing to get people to click on it.
Oh, they're real good at that part.
Yeah, they are.
And the only part of the story that matters is in paragraph 3,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is that prosecutors have zero evidence of human trafficking to this point. That's the story, but nobody's going to click on that.
No, that'd be
how do we spice this baby up?
A little dull.
Let's call it a Robert Kraft prostitution sting.
There you go.
Click. Never was.
Take a look at that.
But anyway, I don't care. I mean, I understand the business. You want people to click on your stories.
Yeah.
EEI.com, puts phony headlines on stuff all the time to get people to click on stuff.
I feel like you're accusing Rob Bradford specifically.
Sometimes, specifically Rob Bradford.
He does.
I don't know who writes all the headlines.
I don't know. Do we have a headline guy or gal?
I believe they write their own, and Rob Bradford is like, it's final say.
Oh, really? So he sort of weighs in.
So, Your Honor, the prosecution rests.
Interesting.
I have written for the site before, and I can confirm that I do not write my own headlines.
That is John Anderson, who was producing
today. They don't trust you, John.
He's our producer.
Rightfully so.
And so he's in. So you were like, hey, you guys figure out the headline on that? Here's my story. Here's my topic.
No, I tried to give a headline, and it was changed without asking me.
Ooh, I don't like that.
That is true. I wrote a couple Celtics blogs, and they changed my headlines.
We got a couple of writers over there?
Wow.
Every so often they ask us to do a little more.
Or to make sure that you don't do a little bit more.
And they offered to, of course, remunerate you appropriately.
So they wouldn't let you do a podcast on something you love, but they made you write an article about something that you
They didn't put a gun to my head. They said, hey, would you like the opportunity? Here's
the opportunity. This is going to be good for you.
Exposure bucks.
You're like, all right, how much do I get? They're like, well, nothing, obviously.
Exposure bucks.
Exposure dollars.
Glenn, talk to me.
Where do you spend those?
Here.
Speaking of real money, the Detroit Lions just tweeted out a picture of their newest signee. It says the hashtag Lions have signed unrestricted free agent defensive end Trey Flowers. And there's a picture of him with a Lions hat on, Dale, and he looks miserable.
Does he?
It looks like, John, retweet that out from Dale Keefe, WEEI. It is.
Wait, am I allowed to tweet again?
You can retweet. We're allowing you to retweet things. He buried our account one time with the corniest stuff ever. But
yeah,
you can retweet at Lions. But I love how they're like the hashtag Lions. It's like, you're the Lions.
Who you are.
Just say we've signed unrestricted free agent defensive end Trey Flowers. He just signed one of the richest deals, and he is not smiling. He's like, what have I done?
Looks like he's making a hostage tape, right?
No, he doesn't.
I'm being treated well.
Yikes.
Tell my family I love them.
Yikes.
And I'll take the Detroit Lions money. Why the hell didn't I go to Miami? It would have been fun in Miami. I like Miami.
Yikes.
Do you think they asked him to smile?
And he's like, I choose not to.
Well, look at Justin Coleman, the next tweet. He's also not smiling.
Justin Coleman's upset too? Oh, no. Justin Coleman should be smiling. Justin Coleman, he's probably trying to make, he's like, you guys know who you signed, right? I'm barely a slot corner, and you just gave me $9 million a year. He's got like a little bit of like a smirk, though. Like, I just took these guys for everything they're worth.
I just clicked. You're exactly right. I mean,
looks miserable. Trey Flowers, he looks miserable.
Could not look less happy than he does in this photo. Oh, what have I done?
Hey,
rich. I'm rich, but what have I done?
How much did he get again? Was it $90 million? No, more than that, right? Whatever it was, $40 million guaranteed, or whatever the guarantees were. Like, an insane contract, and he's just signed it. Like, hey, can you put this Lions hat on? He's like, do I have to?
He signed for $90 million over five, $40 million fully guaranteed over two, $54 million fully guaranteed over three. And then you got this photo.
Sad. He's so sad about it. Like, oh,
what have I done?
He's like, I was just looking at houses in Detroit.
I can own a whole block.
Yeah, you could.
I mean, I got all the money I need.
That'd be great.
Real estate here.
Man.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll get into the calls with you guys in just a little bit. Andrew Raycroft will join us in studio at about 1:30. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey. podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
WEEI.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line 37937. I'm trying to decide here whether we call out hard old Brandon Cook now, Dane Cook, I should say, now, or if we call him out later.
Why?
I
like Dane Cook. I feel like Dane Cook's gotten absolutely trash, but at one point he was the best comedian going. He was right there at the top.
To be trashed on this particular thing.
I disagree.
All right, so let's bring it. Now, this is right. Dane Cook. Well, yeah. Where was he, Rossi?
Dane Cook joined Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen podcast.
Okay, so this is Dane Cook on Rich Eisen.
Was that a fall from grace? I feel like he's coming back, though, right? I've heard rumors of a Dane Cook comeback.
He looks really rough,
from,
though.
Like, 02, no, it's like 01, 02, 03. He was, like, selling out the Garden, like, Madison Square Garden. He was the man. And then
that was in 05, actually, when he
was
had
05.
That.
Okay, yeah. Yes. But like 01, 02, 03 is like when he kind of really started. He had the Comedy Central special.
And that's all like the Kool-Aid guy.
He was great. He's from
Burger King.
From Arlington. Seems like a great guy. But then there was accusations that he stole
stuff.
Some of Louis C.K.'s bit. I guess there was kind of some overlap there.
That will tend to get you not a lot
they hate that.
A lot of love.
So other comedians don't like him. He went on the Marc Maron podcast one time, and Maron was just such a jerk to him. But a lot of comedians... Like Patrice O'Neill loved him.
People go on podcasts and don't get treated properly.
I guess on Mark Maron's they did. Okay.
I didn't know that was a thing.
So that happened with him. But I've always thought he was funny. And then people are like, "Oh, he's not funny." I'm like, "Or do you not? Are you just being told that you don't think he's funny?" Anyway, I think he's good. He's making a comeback. And so
sounds a lot like you guys' Nickelback argument last week.
He's a lot better than Nickelback. Dane Cook.
People call him the Nickelback of comedy.
Nickelback wrote their own stuff. So.
Dane Cook wrote most of his own stuff, okay. I believe. I believe that he did.
All right, so let's give you a little tidbit of Dane Cook with Rich Eisen.
True or false that you have intercepted Tom Brady at one point?
I did a charity event for Best Buddies back in Boston.
That's his charity, yeah. Right? But he has his game.
Yeah, he plays quarterback for both teams. Last play of the game, my team's down.
Yes.
I see Tom, he's going to throw this cute kid who's, you know, been excited to get a ball thrown to him all day. So I see Tom's elbow line up. I go, this kid's not getting this ball. So I ran over and I jumped in front of this kid, pulled it down, ran it in for the game-winning touchdown. And he signed the ball. I got it in my living room.
Are you proud of yourself?
I picked six Dane? Off Tom.
I know that's
Brady.
Fine. I understand that, but
I made a kid cry. You for that ball.
Now that is amazing. The biggest jerk on the planet.
Or is he a gamer?
He's talking about, you know, a cute kid who was really looking forward to catching a pass.
Should have stepped towards the ball. You got to go back to the ball, son.
How old do you think this kid was?
He said 12.
This young child.
He might have been like 12.
You stepped in front, yes. And you high-stepped Tom Brady.
Are you kidding me?
Can I point out that the most of the kids who participate in this for Best Buddies have some challenges?
So what are you saying?
That Dane Cook's an ass.
I don't think so. He made a great play.
Couldn't be a bigger ass than that.
Brady should have read the defense. This kid maybe should have stepped to the ball a little bit. Dane Cook's trying to make plays. Because you guess think about this, Dale.
Because he's got a big contract waiting on the other side.
Do you think Dane Cook was playing? Do you think there were some kids on his team? He probably had a few kids on his team, right? And guess what? They won because of Dane. So they got to celebrate a little bit more.
Tom Brady's the quarterback for both teams.
Yeah, but you just said there's two teams, right? So it's not just Brady versus Dane Cook. It's Dane Cook and a whole bunch of kids.
And here's what you do. You let the kids catch the ball.
What kind of message is that? So you're the guy that just lets the kid win all the time?
Oh, so what kind of message did Dane Cook...
Step to the ball was maybe one of them.
Dane Cook's message
complete
was,
the play.
I'm bigger, stronger than you.
Right.
I can make you feel bad.
That's a life lesson.
Dane Cook's a dink.
Dane Cook's hilarious. Dane Cook's great.
Oh, yeah, that was a scream laugh riot, wasn't it?
I thought it was pretty funny. I laughed.
He went on to talk about the time when Giselle and Tom met each other. He says he was there.
Is that right?
You were in the room when Tom Brady met Giselle.
That is true. That was true.
Where was this, Dane
07
Cook?
AFC playoff game in San Diego. Pats Chargers and San Diego Chargers at the time.
Yes.
And Giselle was sitting with us in the the box. So the Kraft family was like, oh, Giselle's here to, she's never seen Tom play. And she didn't really know football. She literally during the game was like, so why do they have to? And then we all were ushered down to the locker room. And when I saw them see each other and she kind of grabbed him by the arms and they're looking at, they're almost the same height, but she's looking at him because, you know, he's bigger than life. And they were so, it was like they were so beautiful. You know those moments in like a Disney movie where the camera just spins around the prince and princess? And I felt like I was just spinning around.
And the birds start flying like zippity-doo-dah?
It was unbelievable.
I would imagine time stopped. That'd be my guess. The time stopped. Everybody, everybody kind of freezes, and then you just
little
go in there.
Disney cartoon birds flew across.
It would make sense.
The screen,
like all of a sudden, a soundtrack begins to play, and then there they are, the number one power couple in the world.
I think I called my girlfriend right there and was like, "We're done.
We will never have this. We're done. I got to start over. I will never be able to achieve what they have the first time that they have met." Pretty good.
So let's pretend that Dane Cook, because he's a comedian and a laugh riot and doesn't steal other people's jokes, let's pretend that he's just being a comedian, so he's exaggerating. This didn't really happen, but he's trying to be funny. How is that part funny?
Which part?
I stepped in front of the 12-year-old.
So I see Tom's elbow line up. I go, this kid's not getting this ball. So I ran over.
This kid's not getting this ball.
They made a play. Have you ever seen the movie Bad Santa?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Why is it hilarious? Because
it's a movie. It's not real little kids.
Well, this maybe it was based on a true story. Maybe
these are real kids.
You think they're fake actors? You think they're not real little kids in those movies?
I think that it is a movie. It is fiction. This was real life.
Well, I thought
apparently
it was good.
Dane has a hard time, you know, distinguishing the two.
I thought it was well done by Dane. His comeback tour begins now. If you're going to come back from, you know, years off, you go on the Rich Eisen podcast.
But you made a kid cry.
That's good stuff.
This will become a referendum on Dane Cook.
That's good stuff.
Even as we speak.
Dane's doing all right.
TJ's up in Portland. Hey, TJ.
Hey, guys. I'd like to preface the call by saying, Keith, I'm a big fan of yours.
Yeah, but?
But I don't know if I can look past you saying you like Dane Cook. He is everything that is wrong with comedy. One, he's not funny. And I worked for years as a bartender in comedy clubs, and I can just say that nobody is more hated by fellow comedians than Dane Cook.
Why do you think he's not funny? Like, you don't, like his first couple of albums, you don't think were funny?
No, I think he's brutally bad. It's aimed at like 18 and 19 year old girls, and like none of it is.
I thought it was hilarious. I was probably a senior in high school when I first saw him. I thought he was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, it's recycled old jokes that he's basically ripped off from people to relate to Facebook or whatever. It's just
awful. But like I think Seinfeld does the same bit every single time. So there's a lot of guys that recycle
bits. Seinfeld's bit.
No, well, I know, but I mean, he got accused of stealing two or three things. What?
He's not a great stand-up comedian. His show was great because of Larry David. He's an overrated comedian too. But Dane Cook is just a brutal human being and just so unfunny.
So who's the best comedian?
What would comedians tell you?
No. You. What would you say? Unless you're a comedian, like who would you say is if Dane Cook sucks, who's good?
Bill Hicks, he's passed away. Eddie Murphy when he was young.
So you're talking about guys in the 80s. So there haven't been anybody good in 30 years.
I've seen Louis C.K. when he was before he turned out to be a pervert.
Probably don't want to advocate his stuff right now.
All right.
But, there are guys around, doing the club scene that are, Greg Giraldo when he was alive.
You're only naming dead comedians
people.
At
dead
this point.
Dead people or perverts.
Now, speaking of dead comedians, the most respected comedian maybe of all time was Patrice O'Neill, and he kind of came up in the comedy scene with Dane Cook, and he would always defend him. And that was always sort of the one that other comedians were kind of confused by because they all loved Patrice, they all hated Dane Cook. And yet, Patrice would only speak well of him. And then they were like, well, yeah, but... And then he had like a ton... Because Patrice would always go on with like Opie and Anthony, and they would have other comedians come on, and they would always trash Dane Cook. And Patrice saying, yeah, because he's so popular, and you guys are jealous of it. Not everybody could sell out the Garden. Not everybody can go on these tours to all these college campuses and sell out. And then he was doing movies. Now, the movies weren't great, but all of a sudden, he kind of got launched into stardom, where a lot of these other guys kind of just... we're at a certain level doing clubs and things like that.
He did sort of disappear quickly, too.
He did, because he burned hot. Like, he was so good. He had that HBO special, too. Then he did, like, that show where it was, like, they're following him on the tour.
And then he was out for a while.
The big thing that happened to him, too, was that tribute to the Boston Marathon
and show.
They, you know, streamed the entire show. But when Dane Cook came on his, 30-minute set, they blacked it out because he didn't want his comedy being out there.
Oh, is that right? I don't remember that. That really hurt his popularity. Oh, I don't remember.
And
do a
quick bing on Dane Cook 2019. Just looks real rough.
Is he really weathered?
I'm looking at the story from 2013, and they did a giant show at the Garden, like May 13th, to benefit victims of the marathon bombing. And I'm reading here. It says, comic and actor Dane Cook is being criticized for a decision he made regarding his set during the Boston Strong concert at the Garden. Cook did not allow his set to be streamed over any of the audio or video feeds from the concert, which featured many of Boston's biggest music acts and benefited victims. He explained his decision in a tweet that said, "Hey everyone, sorry my set was not a part of the live stream or televised. I didn't want any of the new material to hit the airwaves yet."
Oh, that's a terrible look. I can't defend that. That's terrible. He also had his half-brother was his business manager and basically embezzled millions of dollars from him and got sent to jail. He finally got convicted and got sent to jail. But that was another story that happened to him. That was all right towards the end of his major popularity.
617-779-7937. We'll get back into the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. Andrew Raycroft will join us at 1:30. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.